We will now receive our offertory. If someone could bring it from the back, please, because I'm... Thank you. Lord, we thank you for all your gifts to us, all the blessings that you shower upon us day by day. And Father, we ask that you accept these gifts of money and ask that you will guide us to use them wisely to further your kingdom here in Jersey and further afield. Amen. Now, who likes waiting for things? Oh, depends what you're waiting for, really, doesn't it? So, yes. I think we can safely say that most people don't like waiting. Depends, as you say, depends what you're waiting for. At the moment, we are all waiting for news, aren't we, Huddlestones, of our latest grandchild, which was due last Saturday. No news yet, so we are waiting. If you're waiting for Christmas or a birthday, it seems to take forever to arrive. But some things come around too quickly, especially as you get older, I think. But I think most people don't enjoy waiting. Now today, our story is all about what happened when the disciples were waiting. Jesus, after he had died and he'd been resurrected and he'd gone up to be with his Father, he promised the disciples that he would send them a special gift, and they were waiting. So we'll see what happened after their wait was over. That's a bit of a little trailer. But in the meantime, we'll have our prayers of adoration, confession, and thanksgiving. So let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you are a great and mighty God, that you made each one of us, and that we are all precious to you. Thank you for our homes and families, our friends at school and work. Thank you for our church family. Thank you for holidays, a chance for us to have a break from our daily routine, to spend time with friends and family we perhaps don't often see. Thank you for our beautiful island, for the warmer weather which brings thoughts of trips to the beach and long summer evenings spent outdoors. We are sorry, Lord, for the hurtful words we have spoken this week. Forgive us if we have behaved thoughtlessly or selfishly. We are sorry if we have been unkind to our family or our friends, and we ask for your forgiveness. We know that you are our special friend, always there to listen and comfort when we have problems. Help us always to seek your guidance first. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us join together to say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I don't know if anybody's hungry this morning, but I didn't have time for breakfast today, so would anybody like a piece of toast? Right, okay, I'm going to put the toaster on, get the bread out. I think I better put it down here, actually. Right. I know my grandchildren like a piece of toast anyway. Okay. Oh, what's going on here? Hang on. Oh! No, it's not plugged in, is it? Never mind, I shall plug it in. Now, don't say anything else now. Oh, well, you know, I don't know what's wrong with that, but while that's trying to sort itself out, I've also brought some ironing this morning because I've got a house full of people and I've just got so much ironing, I don't know what to do. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to put the iron on, and while the toast is cooking, I'll just have a look at the iron. See, okay, there we go. All right, get some monopole shirts and just talk amongst yourselves while I'm doing this, okay? Pardon? Yes, it's here. Well, I've switched it on. Look, it doesn't seem to be working either. Oh, dear. Listen, I'll tell you what. While this is sorting itself out, I'm just going to call Mark and see if there's any news about the baby. Oh, no. Phone's gone. No battery in my phone now. What shall I do? No, that's not working either. Oh, dear. Right, so you've all cottoned on. What's missing from all of these items, Bethany? Lucy? Because I've plugged them in, haven't I? I haven't switched the switch. No, so if I switch the switch, you think it'll work? So what am I giving? There you go, look. Oh, look. We have liftoff. I'm not going to do my ironing, though, not now. What is it that all of these have now got? Power. That's the message, isn't it? Power. And that's what the disciples were waiting for. The power which came from the Holy Spirit. I think I better switch this off. Not the power that comes from an iron or a toaster, but a very, very special kind of power, which Wilma will explain a bit more later. I'll just put this to one side. Sorry about that. Okay, over to you, Wilma. By the way, I hope you've all made your windmill. Oh, yes, we are. Are you going to do an introduction to the video? Okay, no, I'll do it, it's fine. Yeah, we're going to watch the video now. Yes, that's fine.
Yeah. That's a little film explaining a little bit about the Holy Spirit, because that's what it's all about this morning. Before I explain a little bit more, we're going to sing, He is the Lord and He reigns on high. Like I said, we are going to speak about the Holy Spirit this morning, and we saw already that we need something to get that power. And now I don't know if you've been making those lovely meals, but you need something to get this going, don't you? So what do we need? Breath, yeah, I hear wind, I hear breath, power. I mean, we might give it a try. Let's see. Mine is working. What about yours? Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Nearly working. So I'm sure that when you go outside with this one, it will work perfectly. And this is the Holy Spirit. Because this wind, you don't see it, do you? Something happens. And we blow. But what we blow, you don't see. That's the same with the electricity. You don't see the electricity like in a blue line or something. It's connected with a cable, but that's about it, really. So this is what we are going to speak about this morning, the Holy Spirit. And today we celebrate a moment when the Holy Spirit came upon the gathered disciples. We just saw that in the film. And what did they have above their heads? Do you remember? Flames, yes. So that was the sign, the first sign of the Holy Spirit, those flames above their heads. And do you remember what else was there, came into this room where they were? A bit to do with the mills. Wind, yes, well done. So yes, today we celebrate that moment when the Holy Spirit came upon the gathered disciples and the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ was proclaimed to all the crowds in Jerusalem that day. And we sometimes call it the birthday of the church. But even more, it is the day that it was revealed to the world that God's promise to renew all creation was at last taking shape. Diane mentioned it already, waiting. Waiting is not always easy and is not always nice, is it? We can wait for a bus. When it comes, it's fine, but sometimes it takes 5-10 minutes before the bus comes, and then you start to think, maybe I missed the bus. Or sometimes you're waiting for things that are not so nice, like a letter from the hospital for test results, which are a bit worrying sometimes, isn't it? And yeah, you might wake up one day and thinking, oh, but what if? So waiting can give us sleepless nights. But it can be exciting as well when you're waiting for your birthday. I mean, I can imagine Harrison, you know, waiting for his birthday the whole week. And finally, yesterday he had a party, but he's having another birthday this week because it's the 31st, I hear. So, and the same with Sheila. I'm sure she's getting excited for her birthday, aren't you, Sheila? And yeah, so waiting, it can be exciting, but it can be worrying times as well. But there are different ways of waiting, because when I put my Sunday roast or the cake in the oven, I'm not going to take a chair and put it in front of the oven and going to sit and wait till it's ready, am I? No. So it's a bit silly, really, to do that. So what I do, I put the egg timer on for the cooking time, and I start doing other little jobs in between. I start peeling the potatoes or watch the television maybe for a bit or have a chat. And, you know, while you wait, sometimes the best conversations happen. I had the best conversations at bus stops, I can tell you that. So this is a good way trying to take your mind off the waiting, especially when waiting time is very long, isn't it? And especially also when you don't know how long you're waiting for. And waiting is what the disciples were doing in our today's reading. When Jesus was still alive, he told them to wait in Jerusalem. I will read it to you again. So while Jesus was eating with the disciples, he gave them this command. He said, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." But the disciples didn't know how long they had to wait for this gift of the Holy Spirit. And they certainly didn't know what to expect either. Jesus has said a few days. But what is a few days? 2? 3? We know from our Bible readings that it was 10 days. But they didn't know that. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth," so all over the world. And after Jesus has said this, Jesus was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Jesus was taken up to heaven, and from that moment on, the disciples were on their own in a room in Jerusalem, waiting for this moment to happen. They might have been worried, as we can get when we wait, or not sure what was going to happen now Jesus had left them. If you put yourself in their situation, how would you have felt? You know, insecurity or self-doubt might take over. But sometimes, while you are waiting, you may forget you are waiting. And then, all of a sudden, the waiting stops. When that letter falls through your letterbox with hopefully good news from the hospital. Or the bus arrives. Or the egg timer goes off and your cake or your Sunday roast is ready. Or your birthday arrived. Or the day of your long-awaited holidays is finally there. While we wait, we just have to believe and trust that whatever we are waiting for will come. And especially when we have prayed about it and asked Jesus, as he knows about every situation. So praying is always good to do while you're waiting. And the disciples, they trusted and believed what Jesus had said and joined together in prayer during this time of waiting. We just saw that on the little video. Even though they didn't know what was going to happen and how long they had to wait for. And so it happened that this day of Pentecost, it arrived. A day where lots of people from all over the world came to Jerusalem to celebrate the festival of the Shavuot, the Feast of the Weeks, a major Jewish holiday which marked the wheat harvest in Israel. And it also celebrates the giving of the Torah to Moses and the Israelites on the Mount Sinai. And then suddenly, there was this sound like a blowing of a violent wind coming from heaven, which filled the whole house where they were sitting. And I will read it to you now. So they were sitting in this house, and it says they saw what seems to be tongues of fire. And we noticed that already from the film, that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in all sorts of different languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem some God-fearing Jews from every nation under the heaven. When they hear this sound of the wind, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own language." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this all mean?" Well, God made his presence known to this group of believers in a spectacular way, with the violent wind and fire and his Holy Spirit, which made the disciples bold and spread the gospel all over the world. As they started to speak in the languages of the people who were there, everyone was able to understand God's message, but some of them thought they were drunk. And some made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." But then Peter, he stood up with the disciples and, empowered by the Holy Spirit, he boldly and in a raised voice said to the crowd, Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that is what Peter said in a really bold voice. And Peter's confidence came from the Holy Spirit that day. He made him a powerful and dynamic speaker. He tells the people why they should listen to the testimony of the believers and this message of good news of the risen Christ, and who is able to change everyone's life forever. And this message of good news didn't stay in Jerusalem only that day, but it went all across the world. And it reached us as well. That's why we are sitting this morning here in the church, because it came to us. And this was the moment that the Christian church was born. If Jesus would have stayed on earth, his physical presence would have limited the spread of the gospel, because he could be only in one place at the same time. But after Jesus Christ was taken up into heaven, he would be spiritually present everywhere. Through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was sent so that God would be with and within his followers after Jesus had returned to heaven. And that is what the Holy Spirit does. It empowers us. It makes us bold like Peter. The Holy Spirit comforts us and guides us to know his truth and reminds us all of Jesus' words in the Bible, and it gives us the right words to say. The Holy Spirit does to us what electricity does to the toaster and the iron and the telephone. Telephone will go off in a minute. Through this power, we will come alive. And at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was made available to all who believed in Jesus. And we receive the Holy Spirit when we accept Jesus in our hearts. We cannot belong to Jesus without the Spirit in us. If you have sincerely trusted Jesus for your salvation and acknowledged him as your Lord and Savior, then the Holy Spirit has come to live in you and help you with your life, and you know that you are a Christian. You don't have to wait for a certain feeling, because you will know that the Holy Spirit has come, because Jesus promised he would. When the Holy Spirit is working within you, you will believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son and that you have eternal life through him. The Spirit is the power in our new lives with Jesus. Now, I was reading a book not so long ago about Psalm 23, The Lord is My Shepherd. It was written by a shepherd, actually, and I didn't know, but sheep are very difficult animals to look after. A common misconception, actually, is that sheep, they can survive anywhere they live. This is not true at all. The reality is that there is no other livestock than sheep that needs as much personal and careful management and handling than sheep. And David, the writer of Psalm 23 and the shepherd himself, he knew this as no other. He knew that if a flock was to thrive and the owner's reputation was at stake, the sheep had to remain under good and skilled management at all times. A good shepherd looks constantly after his sheep and forgets about himself. When I read the verse, "You anoint my head with oil," I learned from this book that flies can upset sheep a lot. They upset us as well, but especially sheep. And especially in the summer, the so-called nose flies, they zoom around the sheep's head and they lay eggs in their noses, which, once the larvae come out, go deeper into the head of the sheep. It's really awful. They can't do anything about it, and sometimes the irritation for the sheep gets so bad that they bang their heads against trees or walls to get some relief, and some of them can become very ill or start running around because of the irritation in their head, which is, of course, not good for the peace in the flock, as they may all start running around. But the shepherd has a special anointment, or ointment for this, which he puts on their forehead when they suffer very badly. This stuff is quite strong, but it changes the sheep completely. It takes away the irritation and restlessness and makes them calm again in order to graze and lay down quietly in the meadows. Now, aren't we sometimes overcome by irritations and distractions? Things we don't have any control over can take over our lives. So much so that it can take away our focus from God as well. It can be as bad as pain or grief, but even small irritations or worries or even waiting may take over our lives. Therefore, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit again and again to be freed from all that distract us, like the sheep who received anointment on their foreheads to calm them down every time they are irritated by those flies in their heads. Even though many of us have been blessed or filled with the Holy Spirit, we might think that once we have been anointed with the Holy Spirit, that is enough for the rest of our lives. But all our frustrations and difficulties we go through in life demonstrates that we constantly need the help of the Holy Spirit in order to continue to live our Christian life and further the kingdom of God here on earth. Which means that we need to pray on a daily basis for the Holy Spirit to come and live within us, to fill us anew every day of our life, to empower us by Him. It says in the Bible, "How much more will you, Father in heaven, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" So we might have to wait for things, whatever it is, holidays, birthdays, hospital results, but whatever we wait for, God's promise of the Holy Spirit will always be there when we ask Him. The Holy Spirit lives within us and makes us children of God. The Holy Spirit is the gift of God to every Christian, not only in Jerusalem at Pentecost. He calls us today to join in the work that God's anointed Son, Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, is doing in our world. When we need money, we go to the bank and get some money. When the car is empty, we go to the petrol station to fill it up with petrol. When we want toast or need some ironing to do, we plug it in and turn it on to withdraw some power. And the Holy Spirit is like electricity. In order for it to function effectively, we have to stay plugged in. Jesus said, No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can we bear fruit unless we remain in him. So when life gets overwhelming, stay plugged in and pray to make a withdrawal on God's power, the Holy Spirit, to give you love, strength, and guidance for your life. Amen.
Our prayers for others and ourselves. Let us pray. Today on Pentecost Sunday, we are reminded that we are all one worldwide family in Christ. We give thanks for people in every generation who have spent their lives sharing the good news of Jesus with others. We pray for those who continue this work today in many countries around the world. Father, we pray for our homes and our families. We ask that they be surrounded with walls of love, care, and understanding. We think of all the members of our family, and we ask that we may remember to say thank you to them for all that they do for us and all that they mean to us. We pray too for families and relationships that are under pressure. Help them to build bridges of communication and love. We pray for our church family. We pray that we will look for opportunities to help and care for others, opportunities to share your love with those we meet. We especially pray for our dear friend Anne at this time and ask for a speedy recovery for her from her operation. Bring her home safely very soon. We pray for Danny and Sally as they prepare to leave Jersey. Please bless them in their new roles, just as they have been such a blessing to us. We pray for all who carry out duties here at Bethlehem. Help us to encourage each other as we do your will. And we pray for ourselves, for all that we are facing at this time, for those who are facing a new situation, moving on to a new home, a new school, a new job, for those who are excited by these new challenges, and for those who dread them. Help us to recognize that a fresh start always begins with Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.